Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome once again to the Living Word. I'm Pastor Mensah Otabel. We are continuing our teaching on marriage titled Marriage 101. And just let me encourage you to get the audio tapes of these messages and make sure that you get them, you listen to them, and that you determine to inculcate the values in these messages into your life. Because, you know, when your marriage is in decay at home, your life will decay wherever it is. What you experience at home will be a reflection of what you're experiencing or what you do wherever you are. So we're teaching about these principles not just to entertain you, but so that you can apply them to your life. And today we're going to look at sharing, and we're going to talk about talking and being able to communicate effectively, which is part of the sharing in marriage. And the message is going to come to you right after this.
And now, today's message.
With my wife, for example, you know, my wife has watched Sound of Music about 1,000 times. My wife is very romantic. She likes Sound of Music. I don't like Sound of Music. I mean, I just watch it once. I say, fine, I know it. And I move on. But she can watch Sound of Music. The kind of movies I like are not in the Sound of Music terrain. I like war films. Yeah, you give me a war, I will watch the war. You know, that's what I like. I like more action. But she likes Sound of Music. So you can imagine if you have only one television. One says, I want the war film. Yeah, I want Sound of Music. But you have to talk through. That's her interest. That's what she's sharing. Sharing means that you listen. And you learn not only to accommodate, but to like. You may not totally like what your spouse likes, but you must accommodate it. Because remember, you are not in marriage to change the other person. It's to accept the other person. You accept them as they are. You accept their past. You accept their interest. You accept their stories. If you have in your mind a pre-established notion as to what a man should be like and what a woman should be like and what they should like, then in times of conversation, you will spend most of your time quarreling because nothing you say will agree with each other. But as you share your heart, you start sharing about things that are general interests and so on, but pretty soon you're going to start talking about your lives. And when you start talking about your lives, you're talking about deep stuff there. Because you see, Adam didn't know how Eve was made. And Eve didn't know how Adam was made. None of them was there when the other was being made. And that is how it is in marriage. You will not be there when your partner is being made. So you may realize that when your husband was being made, he passed through some very rough times, very bad things. And believe you me, all the stories you hear in the newspapers, they happen to human beings. How many of you know that? All the things like rape, it happens to human beings. A man who has been sodomized, it happens to human beings. These human beings one day will marry. And they are coming with baggage. So you have to talk. And as you talk, you are going to hear things that first will disappoint you. I was talking to a gentleman who said to me he had found a very nice woman he wanted to marry. He says, Pastor, I'm disappointed. I said, why? He says, I love this girl. I really want to marry her, but I'm disappointed. I said, why? He said, all my life I've lived holy. I've been a virgin. I've never ever slept with a woman. And all my life, I was also hoping to meet a woman like that. Then I fell in love. And I realized the woman I love I want to share my life with is very far away from that ideal. So he told me about all the things the woman had done. He said, Pastor, he's done this and done this and this. I can't, some of the things I hear, I can't handle it. I said, so why don't you leave? He says, I love her. He says, when I spend time with her, I feel enriched. We talk. I mean, we can share conversation together. But I'm disappointed. That's what sharing does. Remember, when you live a holy life, you don't live holy life in order to attract a spouse. Our holiness is unto the Lord. We live holy to serve God. We do what is right to serve God. It does not mean God will reward you by giving you a person just like you. No. Because maybe you don't even need a person just like you. So I said to the gentleman, I said, so what are you going to do? Are you going to leave her? He says, no. He says, this is the first time I've found somebody I truly love. I said, well, you have a long way to go, but you can conquer every step of the way. That is what sharing is all about. We are not marrying perfect people. We are not marrying people without blemish. You are marrying people who were made by a process different from you. Some were abused when they were young. Some were beaten when they were young. Some were mocked and teased when they were young. And so they become very sensitive. And when you start going out with a person who is that sensitive, every little thing is touchy. Every little thing. He's learned to be suspicious about every little thing. When he comes to see you doing anything, he asks, what's that? What's that? Okay, let me see. Okay. 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 I thought it was something else. When he comes and you're talking on the phone, who was that? My friend. Which friend? Where did you meet him? How long have you known him? And all that. Why is the person like that? You didn't know what made him what he has become. But it doesn't mean that that person is incapable of sharing their lives with you. It could be they can share, but you need time to explore. That's why I encourage couples, you take time to court. I may not make it 2 years, because some of you, if we give you 2 years, you create trouble for the body of Christ. So you disturb the body. You disturb the whole body. You create a disequilibrium in the body. So I would not say 2 years. I would say 1.5 years. I'll give you 6 months bonus. But I can guarantee you, I don't think you should just meet somebody, caught for 3 months and go and marry the person. I know people will say, well, but I know somebody who married like that and their marriage worked. Yet, but they are exceptional cases. It's like the case of cigarettes. I know somebody who smoked cigarette almost all their lives and lived to be 100. Are you going to say because of that you also smoke cigarette? No. No. Because it has been proven that smoking cigarette can be dangerous to your health. So somebody may have escaped consequences. But the general rule is that if you meet somebody you want to marry, you don't jump into marriage. And you don't jump into bed. Because when you jump into bed, your eyes will be closed. From then on, you won't see anything. Because any time you meet, your body will be attracted to each other. Your minds will not be attracted. Anytime you meet your body, you're kissing, you're fondling, you're having sex, you're in bed, you're in this and that. Every time. So you won't think. And all the mistakes will not appear to you. As a matter of fact, I even believe that you don't have to be crazy in love to begin with. I don't believe in falling in love. Because when you fall in love, you won't think again, I'm falling in love. There you are. I'm in love. When you fall in love, you don't see anything. That The young man is telling you lies. Everybody say, Ajua, be careful. This man is a liar. Oh, this man, he's not a liar. Because his lies look like truth. When he lies, it's as if you heard that says the Lord. Everything he says impresses you. Because you're so in love. I don't recommend that. I think you must grow in love. That's my view. I'm not saying by force. But you see, most time when people meet people and they are crazy in love, they meet somebody, boom, their heartbeat say, I have to marry her. I have to marry her. I have to. Once you say, I have to marry her, you won't see anything again except, I have to. I have to. I have to. So you go to the lady's house and she's not in, and then you're sitting down and somebody comes to drop her. Papa, papa, she's dropped. But you said, I have to marry her. You don't even ask who is the man. I have to marry her. I have to marry her. Next time somebody comes, drop. Papa, papa, she's there. Papa, papa, she's there. You've seen all these signs. But you said, I have to marry her. Once you target anybody like that, as if without that person, your life has no meaning, you are setting yourself up for a mistake. And if you see a man, and the women are very easy to deceive, very, very easy. You see a man, and he's shady. You know, he says he loves you with this briefcase, you know. The man comes around, and, hey, the guy is talking too fast. He must slow down. You must check him out properly. Don't be desperate. Because once you make yourself desperate, you will make some very painful decisions. Very, very painful. And when you make those decisions, I can guarantee you, sometimes you live your entire life regretting that decision. So, much as I would recommend people be in love, I personally believe, you know, there's no evidence that Adam was in love with Eve. I know there was no other person, but you know, there was only one woman in the world he had to marry, so he married her. But really, Adam was not really crazily in love. And when you look through the Bible, most of the people grew and nurtured a relationship, not just floating in love. And these days, with all the love movies we see, you watch all those things, some of you women will watch and say, Oh, look at that. Look at that. That's what I want. That's what I want. So most of you have very nice fantasies. To you, marriage is just a nice, glamorous thing. You're living on an island and you're going on a cruise and you know, you're taking a nice vacation. It may happen, but it may also not happen. Because true marriage is not on an island. It's at home. It's not on a ship. It's in your bedroom. You stay in one place. You get up, you see the same thing, the same bed, the same curtain, the same mosquitoes, the same cobwebs, the same thing, the same smell. Everything is, you live there. Oh yeah. You look around your house and say, oh God, when shall things change? Oh yeah. They remain the same. But within that, you remain committed to one another. Within that, you nurture your love, which is sharing, which is support, which is honor. Because when the two of you learn to do that together, the scripture gives you a promise that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. The greatest force on earth is the force of a husband and a wife. Two people who are in total agreement, their prayers are answered. And that's why the Bible says that if you don't learn to dwell together, your prayers will be hindered. But if you are coming together, you may start in one little room, but I can guarantee you, you'll be out of that room in no time. Because one will put away 1,000 and two shall put away 10,000. Two is greater than one. So you may not start in a nice, beautiful place, but you can end up there if you work your way towards that. Because your agreement pulls the force of God, the power of God, on your behalf. The Holy Spirit is pulled on your behalf. Things begin to work for you because you release faith wherever you are. Things begin to happen to you. But true marriage, as I was saying, may not be very glamorous. It may not be the most beautiful, enchanting thing. It may not be going to dance. It may not be sitting around and chatting. It may not be going to the beach. It may be simple things like staying at home and talking. I recommend that every couple must learn to talk at least once a week for 1 hour nonstop. Talk. And must get to the point where that 1 hour is not a fight. First, it may start as a fight, but it must become pleasure. Where you sit and you talk and you chat and you talk about your plans, you talk about the things you need to do, stories you've repeated 1,000 times are brought back and you say them again and you don't get bored. You have to learn to feel comfortable with one another. That is where marriage is all about. You have to be comfortable. I know majority of you are not married and you are courting. Some of you are waiting to court and some are waiting to be courted. And sometimes, you know, we are all waiting, but nobody is making a move. You know, somebody asked me when I says, Pastor, do you think a woman should make a move? I don't. Because we have not changed our cultural paradigm totally. And we are in a culture where it says the man must make the move. If the woman makes the move, it is likely that the man would think she is easy prey and may lose respect for you. But I know sometimes when you're a woman, I mean, you wish the man would talk. And the guy is not talking, and you wish he would talk. And you drop all the hints, and he's not picking any of the hints. And you're trying very hard, you're praying, you're fasting, you're doing everything, but the guy just is not talking. It probably is that he's not decided. He's just not decided. Or he's afraid. Women, men too get afraid. Remember that. But if he's afraid, it doesn't mean he can't marry you. You know, I remember a lady who complained once to me. He says that the guy who wanted to marry, or there was a guy in the church who was interested in her. And she says, you know, Pastor, what I hate is he doesn't come forward. He's going through people. And the worst of it is he went to buy bread and gave it to somebody to come and give to me. Now, the free advice to the men. The women, they don't like bread. Find something else. A perfume will be nice. Women like perfume. Get them a nice perfume. Nice one. Not Circle to Lale. nice perfume. Nice one. You know, but don't buy bread for them. So he said, Pastor, how can I marry such a man? How can he look at, he's buying bread, he bought bread for somebody to come and give to me. That's his proposal. He buys bread. But you know, ladies, you have to be patient. Some men come with bread first. The bread may start. They may start with bread, but they will end up with love. They just need an introduction. So don't judge them too quickly. Some are slow, but they will come. Some take it easy. Some have their own strategy, which includes bread. So, but she says to me, you know, Pastor, She was telling me very, very, very worried. Look, he just gave me bread. Needless to say, she didn't marry that man. But I felt he was a good man. But the bread confused the issues. You see, that's the thing you have to understand, ladies. Sometimes the man may do something that will embarrass you. You want him to come and propose. But there he is telling people. He said, come and tell me, be bold, be a man. He's a man, but he's afraid. Because, you know, if you haven't proposed before, you can say, you think it's easy. You think it's easy. There are professionals, though. They propose very easily. I mean, within 2 minutes, you know, the way I see you, I see that we can start life together, and I believe God is leading me to you, and the Holy Spirit is just speaking to me. I mean, they know it. I mean, they've been doing it for a long time, 5 years. I mean, they have long service of experience. So such people, they come very, but some people too, they haven't done it before. Can you imagine a man who's never, ever, ever told a woman, I love you? Now he's seen a woman he loves. Won't he buy bread? He will buy bread. But don't judge him. Don't judge him because he bought bread. Don't judge him because you don't like the way he came. Because sometimes good things come in wrong packages. And in marriage, I'm telling you, you can make some of the biggest mistakes of your life by quickly judging a person. Because nobody knows what the future holds. That's why you need to take time to understand the person, to talk with the person, to find out where their heart is. Do they love God? Are they ready to serve Him? And I'm not talking about, are they prayer warriors now? I say, do they love God? Loving God is different from being a prayer warrior. There are people who pray with their mouths, but their heart is very far away from God. They will bind the devil, but they can't bind their own emotions. And such people, you see them very, you know, very, very zealous, you know, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all over in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. But they are quarrelsome. One little matter, he won't forgive. Meanwhile, he's binding in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. But one little thing, no forgiveness. So, some people may come and you think this is the perfect, but when you wrap it, it's totally different. Then you see something else, you look at the wrapper, you say, this one too. You just open it and you see gold. So you don't prejudge. You spend time to know. Let me say this in closing. I believe, and I know that we have different groups of people here, and that's a bit difficult for me in what I need to say, but I try to address almost everybody as much as possible. But I believe that it's good to start early. It's good to start early. For those of you who are young, in your early 20s, this is the best time for you. This is the best time. Make the right choice. If you are in your 20s, ladies, don't get presumptuous and start bouncing the brothers as a habit. Start telling people, you know, this one too came there. He thinks he can marry me. He thinks he can marry me. And that one, he thinks he can marry me. You know where I came? He thinks he can marry me. One day you will grow. And you have sacked everybody. And it may be a bit tough for you. So whilst you are young, be humble. Don't be presumptuous. Be humble. Take your time. Get to know people. Don't focus on one person. Don't make it to your heart. That's a brother I'll marry. That's a brother. No. You take your time. Get to know people. But check whether they have a heart that shares. Whether they are supportive. Are they interested in what you do? Do they encourage you, or they brush you aside and are always talking about themselves? Do they want to know what you are doing, or they are always praising themselves and their great achievements and their great intelligence and the great degrees they have and all the monies they are making? But they never find out where you are going and what you are doing. If a person can't encourage you to hear from you, to be tough when you marry for them to share. If you are quiet and you can't encourage the person to talk and to listen to that person, you can't marry. So ladies, the young ones, be very careful. Some of you have started making some of these mistakes I'm talking about. You are throwing people about and feeling good. You know, after you throw people for a while, they'll get tired of coming. And it's also the men. The men also sometimes at this time are just toying with people's emotions. Going around the sisters and giving them hints here and there. And then when they become attached, you just pull away. And just, these days I go to church, all the ladies are around me, all the ladies. One day, all the good ones will go. And an aggressive tiger will pounce on you and give you a good beating. Don't take these things for granted. Young men, don't toy with women's emotions. Don't ask them probing questions that make them think you are interested in marrying them. Stay. Be friends. If you want to ask questions, ask the right questions. And when you start zeroing in, be sure you are zeroed in. Because when I was young, I said to myself, the first time I propose to a woman, it must work. And it did. I've proposed only once. My first and last. I didn't take bread. Just once, I said I have to be careful. Once, not three times, not four times, not five times, not break a thousand people's hearts. No, it's not fair to do that. It's not fair. So young men, treat the women with care. God bless you. You know, my friends, as we learn to talk together and express our hearts together, we also learn the power of agreement. We are able to agree. And whatever we determine to do in Jesus' name will be done. There is so much power in the unity of husband and wife. No wonder Satan works to divide husband and wife. Because when you two come together, you will accomplish so much for yourself, for your children, and for your community. So, don't let anything keep you from agreeing. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't be mischievous. Don't continue being stubborn-hearted. There must be a point of forgiveness, and there must be a point where we come back together in agreement. And I think that God desires that your life will reflect that kind of agreement we have talked about in this message. I'm Pastor Mensah Otterbill. Shalom, peace, and life to you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676 7655 +233 2676 7655 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com. Yeah.